Late last year, Sam Wyman did something that the rest of us would always dream of doing. He played golf with a PGA Tour player, Joel Damon, and together they teamed up for an experiment that turned into a cover story. They wanted to see if Joel Damon hit every one of Sam Wyman's drives, could Sam break 80? You'll have to read the story for that, but I'm interested in what we're going to break down in this episode of the Golf IQ Pod is what Sam learned playing from a PGA Tour player.
I'm going to be so messed up the next time I play regular golf. And I'm like, what is this? What is this 190
approach?
Does that
mean that I'm going to like have more confidence maybe next time I play?
Maybe. Yeah, you should benefit. Like this is like a bad dream that you're going to wake up from.
Oh, so Sam, a few months ago, you wrote a decent cover.
It was coherent.
An awesome cover story with Joel Damon. The premise of the article was that he hit all of your drives, you hit all of his drives. Your goal was to break 80. It's a really fun piece in all seriousness and fun YouTube video too. So go check it out. But I guess my question to you is that you got to play 18 holes with one of the best golfers in the country. What did you learn about how PGA Tour players play golf?
Well, I mean, more than I can fill in a 10-minute episode. But, I mean, certainly one of the things the biggest takeaway for me was just a tour pro's demeanor and how they conduct themselves on the golf course. You know, we've talked a little bit about warm-ups and what we should work on the course, what we shouldn't work on the course. You know, the old cliche, which definitely I believed to be true, and what I saw that day was when a player like myself plays goes to the range, we're not really thinking at all, we're just banging the ball. And then when we're playing, we're thinking all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. A tour pro is the exact opposite. When they're on the range and they're working on their game, practicing, they're analyzing, they're thinking about their swing, they're thinking about things they want to achieve with every shot.
Yeah.
And then when they go play, they sort of, their mind shuts off and they're very, you know, they're just very in the moment.
Yeah.
And that contrast was, you know, startling to me that day.
Yeah, exactly. That they're just kind of down to business, right? They're not thinking about all these other things. They're just moving their point. They're moving their ball from point A to B to C.
And they've done all the work prior to get to that point, as opposed to trying to figure it out in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I think with the situation with Damon too, where all of a sudden he's thrown way out of his comfort zone because he's hitting all your drives. He's hitting all sorts of different clubs into greens that he isn't ordinarily hitting. It gives him that like underlying confidence of like, okay, my task is to his ball from point A to B.
Yeah, no, but now granted, this was, you know, a low stakes, you know, fun round of golf, not, you know, a PGA Tour event worth, you know, millions of dollars. But the same principles apply. I mean, he's still applying his craft in a way that's way different than me, that go beyond just, you know, incredible speed through the ball, incredible, you know, strength. You know, so many things about that day were that stood out for me. One is just, you know, the crispness, the sound the ball makes coming off the club face. It's just like a different sound. You know, it's just there's the miss hits, and there were a few by him. He would call them miss hits. Would all count for me as the greatest shot I ever hit.
Yeah. It's so funny because that was something that struck me, was that in some ways, the better you get at golf, the more boring it is to watch you play golf. And I mean that as a compliment, right? Like that day, Joel Damon was way further back than he usually is. He's hitting longer clubs into greens, yet he's just picking off fairways and greens and two putts. And it just, it gave me an appreciation for the fact that this guy is just standard round, involves hitting so many greens, so many fairways. His like average round is so good. And it's also just so boring. He's not lighting it up. He's just punching the clock every single hole.
You know, a small part of him, I mean, he could not have been better company. It was fun and was supportive the whole time. But, you know, a couple times because he was hitting my drives, he was like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to hit this approach shot. You know, so I'm 290 yards back. You know, it's just like you have this expectation. I've achieved this level in the game. You know, I'm expecting to have a wedge into this green, and now I have I have to hit a 3-wood. I don't know what that says other than, you know, the game they play, the calculations they make are so different than the calculations I'm making. Mm. Whereas like, oh yeah, 290, yeah, that's normal for me. That's a normal approach shot in.
Yeah, and to me too, it was an interesting spotlight into like how really good players actually play well, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Because I think, I don't know, you're an 80s shooter, you know, 70s shooter. And I think sometimes we get lost in this cycle of thinking, in order to play well, I need to hit every single yep. shot perfect. I need to aim at every single pin. I need to bomb all my drives and I got to make all my putts. When in reality, I feel like Joel Damon that day was thrown into like outside of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But the way he played well, nevertheless, was just picking off, like, you know, not going after pins. He just kind of adjusted to the situation, started aiming at the middle of the mm-hmm. green. And, you know, you make a few putts here and there. But it was really about minimizing your like potential for making big numbers.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
And, well, and you and I have talked about this in the past that, you know, ironically, you know, going in, my biggest fear, because it was on camera, that I was going to make a complete ass of myself and I was going to hit, you know, these sideways shots and hit balls out of bounds and you know, hit these kind of worm burners. For the most part, that didn't happen. Mm. I struck the ball pretty well, which I find to be the area of my game that is the most erratic. Where I really struggled and where I really paid the price was with my short game. And a lot of times it was because for whatever reason, I started trying to do things that I normally wouldn't do, or I, you know, the tension got to me in places I didn't anticipate. And again, for a skilled player, these were the simplest shots you have. Mm. These are easy up and downs. And I made huge numbers, you know, out of a greenside bunker, out of, you know, just short chips.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, you have said a lot too, that I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it feels like you walked away from that experience saying like, how good is my good? How bad is my bad? And ultimately it's like the good shots you hit that day mm-hmm. were great by any single standard, mm-hmm. sticking wedges, making putts, all sorts of good stuff. It was like that your bad, which happened to show up around the greens mm-hmm. that day, is like ultimately what separates you right. from like other golfers.
Yeah, my bad was really bad that day. And, you know, we've talked in earlier episodes about, you know, how to react to bad breaks and things like, oh my God, if, you know, so when I'm thinking about that round with Joel, I would think, oh, if I just didn't put the ball in the back bunker on the second hole, I probably would have made par. And I wish, well, that's not the way golf works. Like, yeah. We all have these bad breaks that happen. And in my case, our inability to adjust well to them and, you know, kind of salvage some decent score and limit the damage is what separates, you know, one of the things that separates me from being a very good player yeah. is I'm just not able to, you know, limit my bad.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to like this whole thing ultimately was like an experiment, mm-hmm. right? That you're a guy who you said, you know, I feel like I really need some extra distance. If only I could hit my sure. drive a little further. So that's what led you to this experiment where you're going to hit Joel Damon's drives. And really, it was interesting that what you came out of the experiment thinking was, you know what, it takes more than one magic yeah. bullet off the tee.
Yeah. I mean, his length, the shots I had in the greens definitely helped.
Yeah.
Like that would be great if I had, that was part of my game, but it doesn't solve all the problems. Yeah. There are a lot of other things that I need to solve. And a lot of them are technical. A lot of them are things that, you know, they require practice and lessons and all those things, but a lot of them are decision-making and poise and just kind of recognizing, you know, the situation and what would be like the least bad outcome.
Yeah.
Which I think I failed to do. So, you know, how does that carry into the next round I play? I'd like to think that, you know, one of the things that I'll do, you know, in a tournament round is have a little bit more respect for, okay, what is a palatable outcome here that is not going to, you know, screw me, you know, in a big way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I feel like Joel said that multiple times throughout the round in regards to his own game. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy's a PGA Tour winner, one of the best players around. And well, he's talking about being pumped about hitting a green, not short-siding himself, you know, a good mm-hmm. two-putt there. And again, that's ultimately the takeaway, I think, for the rest of us, right? It's that your goal when you're playing golf is to minimize the potential blow-up
sure.
opportunities, period. Like yeah. if you can do that, you're coming out so far ahead.
Yeah, and that actually, there's another thing he talked about, which is, you know, we tend as TV viewers to watch guys on TV and they hit a wedge to to 20 feet and the announcer will say, oh, that wasn't very good. Yeah. And even the player might be a little disappointed. The best player on the PGA Tour from 100 yards hit it to an average of 17 feet.
Yeah.
And so even tour players have, you know, very modest or realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Over shots. And I feel like that's applicable to all of us. Like, not everything has to be a hero shot. Sometimes hitting it to 30 feet is a perfectly good shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's a game against par in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. And like, you know, a lot of players, you know, especially someone like Joel Damon, who's like not the furthest hitter, but like a really accurate mm-hmm. ball striker, he'll tell you that like the difference between him playing well and poorly isn't like this big strategic shift. It's like if a few putts happen to drop.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a boring answer, yeah. right? It wasn't like, oh, I just need to be 20 yards longer off the tee. No. I need to make more 6 to 8 footers. I need to make 2 around more from that. You know, the very kind of mundane answer, but that's what golf is. It's like managing your game, you know, the best way you can.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that's the clear as day thing that, as golfers ourselves, we can say, you know, to other golfers who are wondering how these guys on the PGA Tour play, is that they just do the boring stuff, you know, yeah. consistently really well.
Right. I mean, again, we watch golf on TV and eventually we'll watch Sunday afternoon and there'll be a guy in contention who maybe makes birdie in the last hole or makes par in the last hole. We don't see, you know, maybe the preceding 54 holes
yeah.
that were very mundane and, you know, limiting mistakes and getting up and down and turning a 5 into a 4, all of these like kind of little moments that allow them to be in this dramatic moment.
All right. Perfect.
All right.
Yeah, a little funky vibe, that's but fine. Still have 150
clubs in there. Clubs and wrists are intact, so.